Encounters with Grace, looking for love in all the right places. Encounters with Grace is a compilation of essays, prose, and images based on the musings of the urban herbalist Charlene Marie Muhammad. In 2019, Encounters with Grace is dedicated to 365 days of Finding Nemo, never-ending moments of openness to the universal principles of peace. Encounter number 16, fasting, friend or foe. If food is the staff of life, should there be famine, wars, and strife? For like the ant, should man proceed to fulfill his want and need? And that is food. Bunny Whaler. 'Tis the holy season of Ramadan, and tens of millions of folks around our planet will be observing one of the more challenging of the five pillars of Islam, fasting. Here in the West, where the practice of eating is all day, every day, breakfast, then a snack, then lunch, then a snack, then dinner, then a nightcap, fasting is a daunting task. I have heard some say that doctors and other healthcare providers advise that fasting is not healthy, especially for those with chronic health issues like diabetes, hypertension, depression, GI disruptions, headaches, women on their menses, and anyone on medication. Troubles over 85% of the adult population suffer with. Then there is advice to eat several meals throughout the day, yet no one can agree on the caloric intake of such a smaller meal looks like. Advice not to skip a meal, especially breakfast, the, quote, most important meal of the day, end quote. Eat more protein and less carbs. Eat more carbs and less fat. Whew. No wonder we are in a digestive conundrum. Yet if fasting is not good for us, why do the majority of the world's faith traditions practice some sort of fasting at least once every year for millennia? Today it's the holy season of Ramadan. That was preceded by both the Christian season of Lent and the Jewish tradition of Passover. Both faiths encourage a practice of abstention from food and other activities. The Buddhists observe Upatha, in which 2 to 6 days of every lunar moon provides a practice of fasting to cleanse the defiled mind that will result in inner calm and joy. The Hindus celebrate fasting and prayer during their holy season of Vasanta Navaratri, a 9-day celebration to honor the goddess Durga, who represents the epitome of absolute power. Go, goddess girl magic! The Baha'i observe 19 days of fasting from sunrise to sunset to explore the purpose of invigorating the soul and to assist one in moving closer to God. Most tribes of Native America and Africa all make an observation of fasting for purification during a cycle of the sun. So why the disconnect in our contemporary Western culture? Let's reason with this. Physiologically, and according to the researchers at the Mayo Clinic, the average time it takes for a food to transverse through our digestive tract, from mouth to toilet, is 40 hours. 33 hours for men, and 47 hours for women on average. So, if we eat breakfast, then a snack, then lunch, then a snack, then dinner, then a nightcap, seems we might have a backup the length of the I-95 corridor from NYC to the ATL. Western medical scientists, as well as most of the world's healthcare researchers, agree that the majority of what ails us is a direct result of what we consume as food. And yet fasting is not only frowned upon, it is discouraged. As a wellness practitioner, who is also a certified nutrition specialist and licensed dietitian, I see clients for a host of diet-related health problems, but curbing the appetite seems mission impossible. Let's face it, we have a dysfunctional relationship to our source of life, and that is food. I am encouraged, though. Some wise entrepreneur has found a way to disguise the art of fasting by retrofitting the practice as a dietary strategy, the intermittent fast. founded by Swedish bodybuilder who considers himself the godfather and high priest of intermittent fasting, Mark Burkan is collecting big coin by repackaging an age-old religious pillar, sans the spiritual stuff. I say whatever it takes. Having practiced fasting over the years, I have come to understand its value. Besides feeling absolutely marvelous, fasting helps clear the mind and therefore helps to calm the mind. All five senses are heightened, especially the sense of taste. So when one does break the fast, food tastes so good. With the calmness of mind and body, one is naturally led to a state of introspection, and the greatest of all question waits our musing. What is the meaning of life, and what am I called to do? A few years ago, I participated in a clinical study of yoga as self-care. The researchers who designed the protocol were instructed by their IRB not to include any spirituality in the yoga study. No use of Sanskrit words, no oming, no holding hands in prayer-like positions. We yoginis struggle with the sanitized approach to yoga. Hell, without the spiritual stuff, isn't it just exercise? Yet as we move through the cohort of students, we discovered that the students naturally found a deeper inner exploration of themselves without the yogic spiritual prompting. So too it may be with fasting. The art of abstaining is one of voluntary refrain. It is the practical application of disciplining the self. We will never achieve our greatest desire, giving in to every desirous impulse that comes our way on a daily. Why not practice disciplining ourselves with the most obvious personal act we have in our control? And that is eating food. Ramadan Mubarak!